Hello to all you hip skips out there,
and welcome to the jungle. Join Disney historian David Dr. Skipper Marley and art director and crooner Trevor Kelly as these former jungle skips explore the world of Disney, pop culture, and theme parks. But hold on tight, because just like a jungle cruise, their conversations often head deep into uncharted waters. Now, grab a seat and enjoy Expedition 34. Free price is right pants, bored billionaire bullies, and announced but never arrived attractions. Move it up, Skips.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good.
Great.
Good, good.
We started it off properly this time.
We did. We did. Because you know why? Because we're victorious now. Why?
That's true.
That's why.
This is, you are now listening to the 2024 Disney Podcast Battle winning podcast.
That's right.
The Jungle.
That's right. Very proud of that.
Me too. Because last year when we did it, we barely made it through the first round.
Yep.
And then the second round, we got dunked on.
We got dunked on hard.
I can't even remember who did it, but they did it.
Yeah. Oh, we took them out. They're no longer have a podcast.
That's right.
There were some kneecaps broken.
I had a question. So now that we won, does this mean all of those other podcasts in the other brackets can't do podcasts anymore?
No, they just have to refer to us as Lord and Sir. That's all they can say.
This is good.
They have to send us some money, I guess.
I'm fine with both.
Either one's fine. I just, for all these things, I either want to win or I want to lose so badly in the first round. Mm-hmm. Whatever's the funniest.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
It was funny because at the start, you're just kind of like, oh, throw it out there. Let's
right?
see what happens. And then as we got further along, me and Jess got so competitive. I'm like, I am going to burn all of these other people to the ground.
Yeah.
But they're all the nicest, friendliest podcasts. And so it was nice. It was nice having Rope Drop Park Hop as our battle partners in the final.
Yeah.
They did a very nice thing with that Spotify playlist and everything.
It was great. And earlier on, they were they won one of those by 72%.
Oh,
like
my
they
goodness.
Were killing people. I'm like, well, so much for us. Right. When we lined up against them, I'm like, this is not going to go well.
Yeah.
But I think we had spent so many, a week or two, just harassing everyone we knew to vote for us.
So thank you to all of you who voted and made this happen.
Yeah. And now, and the tens of thousands of dollars that comes, I'm assuming,
that
comes with the victory.
I think so.
Okay, good.
It's a good grand prize.
I hope so.
Speaking of grand prizes, one of my favorite things popped up in the news, The Price is Right. Bob Barker's old house I doubt it's in Studio City.
No.
That's a fake town. But L.A., up for sale.
Really?
Yeah, $3 million.
Oh, they just put the price out there?
They didn't
That's
make
stupid.
You guess.
Oh my God. There should be like columns in front.
Absolutely.
And like a bunch of realtors.
My
$3 million and $1.
That's right. I wanna put in a $1 bid just to see. Maybe it's in the contract. Maybe when he died, his contract said if somebody bids $1 on my mansion, they get it.
That would be brilliant.
I think so.
I knew this guy when I lived in Washington, D.C. I worked at this Mexican restaurant and his name was Jose. And when he found out I was from Southern California, he goes, have you ever been to The Price is Right? I'm like the show? He goes, yeah, have you been? I'm like, no, I've never been. He's like, I've been 10 times. Like every year he saves his money, flies out for a week and would go to the show every single day for a week.
Did he get up?
Not in the 90s, but his goal was always to get in the show and to meet Bob Barker.
Yeah.
And it was like his focus. He's like, I can't believe you've never been. I'm like, no.
I would love to see it, but they've changed it so much since the pandemic.
But I love, but I love Drew Carey. I would love to. I mean, no slam on Bob Barker, but
no.
I'd love to meet Drew Carey.
No, I actually prefer Drew Carey now. I thought I preferred Bob Barker. And then on one of these things, you can watch the Bob Barker era Price is Right episodes. And that man is cruel.
Really?
He is mean.
Really?
Man. He's funny.
Uh-huh.
But if he went up and did the things he did in the 70s, if he were alive today and hosting, they would murder him. He's
really?
Very much I think in the 70s and 80s, hilarious.
Yeah.
Nowadays, borderline cruel. Like a benevolent dictator up on top of the contestants row.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing I read, Price is Right related.
Yeah.
And I never really thought about it, but it makes sense. They had a piss plan in case somebody got so excited they urinated themselves.
Really?
Yeah. The Former producer of The Price is Right says, we had a system in place in case somebody pissed their pants. I never saw it happen, but there were curtains, a blow dryer, and a pair of sweats just in case. Because they needed to keep going, yeah.
That's when you know you're pushing excitement, when you have to plan for someone peeing themselves. You know what I mean? Right.
I mean, if I got to play Plinko.
Right? Like, that's not, there's nothing like that in Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln. Like, they're not worried about anybody
in case
being
somebody,
so excited that they pee themselves.
The opposite. I mean, somebody so old in the audience.
That's true. That's true.
But they probably have diapers anyway.
You hope.
I think that's my game plan if I ever get on Price is Right, knowing this now, is if you're in contestants row and there's that final bid, and if you lose that, I would just piss myself to at least get some free sweatpants out of the deal. I think that would be good.
Yeah, I wonder if they say like CBS or The Price is Right on
it. Says that I pissed myself on The Price is Right.
Yeah, right? I lost control of my bladder on The Price is Right. Okay. What was I going to talk about? I had so many things to talk about. Let's see what we got. I'm excited because in just a couple days, I will be in Orlando, Florida.
Beautiful
Orlando, Florida.
Land of enchantment.
That's right. Land of 1,000 lakes for the very first Tiki Agogo event. So it's like Tiki stuff. It's Disney stuff.
Yeah.
It's at this beautiful resort hotel right off the property of Disney. So it's affordable. Well, they're paying me for they're putting me in the room. I ain't paying for it. So what do I care? But I'm going to give one talk where I share my favorite Skipper stories, like the East Coast version of Skipper stories. And then I'm doing a brand new talk called The Jungle Cruise Goes East.
Ooh.
So talk about building it out there and how it was different than the Anaheim one.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to Thursday night hanging out with a bunch of Jungle Cruise skippers.
I'm so jealous.
That's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
And some like friends that I met in Iwele and other people that I know there. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe see some of our friends that live out there.
That'll be a blast.
I'm very excited. Yeah, this is the first year, so I'll be there to iron out all the kinks. So I can tell you, don't feed alligators marshmallows by sticking them in your mouth and then sticking I'm going to try it. See how it goes.
I'm
going to see how it goes.
Anybody can do that once.
And what's the worst that could happen?
Who knows? Only time will tell.
Only time will tell. And science. It's not going to be fun.
And so are tickets still available for your seminars and whatnot?
Here's the great thing about it. If you get a ticket to the event, all the seminars are free.
Oh, come on.
I think the only seminars you have to pay for are like the rum tasting ones.
Oh.
So I love that.
That's fantastic.
I don't know why, but for me, I really like that because like Inuwele does it that way. So if you got a ticket, you're in.
That's super great.
Yeah.
Very excited.
Yeah.
That.
And did you hear, can I do another one?
Yeah.
I'm trying not to go on a rant. On the Disney Legends of 2024 have been announced.
The first thing I thought when they announced it is Dave's going to have some opinions.
Here's my opinion in two words. Jesus Christ. That's all I got to say.
I mean, some of them, absolutely. Like yep. Joe Rode, why wasn't that guy one before?
Yeah. He's like, you should have been one years ago.
Absolutely.
Miley Cyrus, what the hell? And she's also very young. You're not a legend. You're not even 35 yet.
She's going to get two, actually, Miley Cyrus and Hannah Montana.
See, yeah. That would be funny. But like, here's the one that pissed me off. Here's the one that pissed me off the most. Joe Rode should have had it years ago. There should be a statue of that man somewhere.
Absolutely.
Because he's great. Can I tell you the one that is totally undeserving? Like, if I could get into the studio, I would rip it out of her hands. Kelly Ripa, what the hell have you done that's a Disney legend?
Just because she's an affiliate?
Yes.
Come on.
Like, no offense to John Williams. He did some of the best movie music ever.
Yes.
But he's not really, none of it was for Disney. Like, technically. It was Star Wars. It was
once
indie.
Once they bought it.
Yeah. So a lot of these were just things Disney bought. And now you're a Disney legend.
Yeah.
I'm like, you didn't do anything. But they gave one to a cast member.
Really?
It's the first time I've heard of that they gave one to a long-time cast member. I don't know their name.
So I'm ready. Means that the floor is open for us to potentially be Disney legends at one point.
Oh, clearly.
Yeah.
Oh, clearly. Yeah. I mean, no offense to Josh Gad. He got it for doing the voice of a snowman in one movie.
That's true.
And suddenly, to me, this legend thing has, look at who they were originally. They were like actual legends. Now it's more like a marketing camp. Kelly Ripa. Come the hell on.
Does it work like in medieval times where this person's a legend? So if you challenge them to battle, you absorb their legend status?
I hope not, because I will be there challenging all of them. I won't challenge Joe because he's the man.
I will not challenge any of those people. I will challenge Kelly Ripa.
Yeah.
But I will not. Miley Cyrus, that girl could beat the crap out of me and I would welcome it.
As I said before, I work out a lot and I'm a Raider fan, so bring it on. I fear nothing. I fear I've been to Waffle House in the dark. I fear nothing. True. I'm going to Waffle House.
I don't want to bog us down on corporate politics.
Okay.
But it is worth mentioning.
Yes.
The board fight happening.
Yes, I had that too.
You had that too?
Yes.
What do you got?
Just so you listeners who we love know, we really don't plan these out ahead of time. We show up with things. This is what I wrote. I wrote, Nelson Peltz is an ass. That's all I wrote.
That's basically what I got.
I read several articles, like in the New York Times and whatnot, to get ready.
Yeah.
Because he has this whole save the magic and we're going to preserve Disney, which was what Roy Disney did.
Yeah, the save Disney, which was justified at that point. Yeah,
because it was Roy Disney trying to bring it back. Because Michael Eisner was great, but then he kind of lost his way.
Well, once Frank Wells dealt.
Yeah. And he just took both jobs on and the Katzenberg thing. So he was great, but kind of went too far. And this is, he's copying what Roy Disney did, but at other companies, he just sells all the parts. And there was an interview where he said, I don't know if Kevin Feige, how do you say his name?
I think it's Throat Warbler Mangrove.
Oh my God, I love you so much for saying that. If you don't get that reference, when you spell Throat Warbler Mangrove, it looks like the word luxury yacht. Okay, I had a video game, this tank video game with different nationalities. So for one of the British tank commanders, I typed in luxury yacht and my youngest daughter walks by and goes, Throat Warbler Mangrove. And I'm like, I've never been happier as a dad.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I hope to God he does not succeed in this.
I don't think he will. Because he said, I'm not trying to get rid of Bob Iger. I want to keep him. But all of his votes were against Bob Iger.
I mean, it's not like he's under oath. He can just say, I want to keep everything how it is. And then just strip that company bare.
Because that's what he's done before.
How do they keep finding themselves in this situation every couple of decades?
Because there's always, here's the thing with Wall Street. They're just the worst people. And they're always looking for a way to make money. And they can make money by taking Disney over and selling it, or they can threaten it and Disney will pay them to go away.
Mm.
Either way, they make money.
So they're like pirates.
Yes, exactly. In the 80s, it was called green mail, where they would just say, we're taking over the company. We're selling everything. We own so much stock, more stock than you're aware that we own. And pay us this and we'll go away.
Wow.
And so, but he's like, I want these people on the board and I want to fire these other people. And he's already talking about selling off things to different companies because he wants, he goes, we're going to make money for the shareholders. And then my favorite quote is, I'm a billionaire. I'm supposed to be a bully.
The standout quote for me, and I wrote it down, and it reads like it was generated by AI for a Disney villain.
Okay. Oh, God.
Why do I have to have a Marvel that's all women or an all black cast? People go to watch a movie or a show to be entertained. They don't go to get a message.
I saw that same quote.
Has he never watched a movie and absorbed it?
No. And what's stupid is the Black Panther was one of the highest grossing movies.
I feel like his takeaway from watching Bambi was that it was a successful hunting trip.
Right?
There was no message behind it other than that.
None. Too bad they didn't get Bambi's dad because they had those great antlers.
Bambi 2.
Yep.
That's going to be the first thing he throws into... Oh, they already did Bambi 2,
they
right?
They do. This will be Bambi 3, the death of dad. the death of Bambi.
He just needs to go.
Yeah. Not that Iger is doing all this stuff out of the kindness of his heart. He's still making tens of millions of dollars. But these guys, all they see is numbers and all they see is money.
Yeah.
And they're not going to give employees any raises. They're going to lay people off. They're going to sell things and walk away. And they don't care because they've just made millions.
Well, hopefully it makes it through. And then we get another renaissance.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Because
that's what happened with Eisner. Maybe we'll get a good personal.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But this guy, we can agree, this billionaire.
He needs to go.
Needs to go the hell back to New York City or whatever it is, wherever he's from, and leave us alone. And
his Disney ivory tower.
Exactly. And Disney should pay its cast members a living wage.
It's funny. We'll move on very shortly
after this.
But it seemed funny to me that they announced some more details on the Tiana ride today.
Uh-huh.
And it's continuing the story, and you enter through Tiana's Foods, an employee-owned co-op. And I'm like, wow, the attractions have better employee relations than the actual company that makes them.
Wow. That's got to be the Imagineers going, oh, they won't even notice. Iger won't even notice.
To billionaire CEOs like that kind of language, it doesn't even register to them. They can't even process it. Employee-owned?
Yeah.
What?
Like, is that like... Like slavery? Is that what you mean? Like own the employees?
That's right. We'd love that.
You said it backwards. It's own the employees. Your grammar is atrocious, young man. That's fantastic. I'm so excited about that. And they're changing some of the stores in Critter Country to reflect Tiana. It is my second favorite Disney film. Not a weak moment in that
movie. I can't wait to see the ride. The pictures I've seen looks beautiful. And my only note is if there's an Imagineer listening, I know you're redoing a lot of Critter Country, but if you could just take the Pooh Corner sign and put it over wherever the bathroom is over there,
That's what you call a missed opportunity. How could you resist that? Right. How could you resist that?
That's all I want.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. We just wanted to take a quick moment to give a shout out to all of our Patreon supporters.
Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We hope you enjoyed our live broadcast from the park a couple weeks ago.
That's right.
That was a lot of fun.
Got a live stream from the park. We still have the Hot Ones Challenge available on the Patreon. And we have a whole bunch of cool stuff and this great idea that Dave just came up with.
That's right. For the 1 year anniversary of all of our fine Patreon followers, we're going to let you request your own recorded voice from our beautiful announcer.
That's right. Your own custom greeting at all levels.
But we got all kinds of cool things coming up. Giveaways for people that have been following us for a year. Mm-hmm. And even if you haven't been there for a year, hop on and we have all kinds of fun, cool things. We've been brainstorming a lot.
Absolutely.
Because you guys, it's been great. Your help has been great in keeping this podcast going.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for your support. I'll read out the Ancient Order of the Cambodian Shriners. It's our $15 level. Thank you, Darla Kendrick, Logan, Sean Ross, Skipper Sill, Sissy Von Rue, Natalie Ernst, Kim Medlin, Steve Reed, Wayne Stonecipher, Ashley McGee, Rick Martin, Paula Malcolm Elhart, Sarah Malik, Lapu Lisa, and Mecha Grogzilla, Geo Trash Girl, Kristen Moore, Ashley Gallus, Darren Zakich, Terry Walker, Jim Chamberlain, Sent from Disneyland, Matt B., and Nicole Clough.
That's fantastic.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot. I had lunch with Sarah Malik not 2 weeks ago.
Oh, really?
I spoke at her school's career day.
That's fantastic.
And then I realized I have a career. News to me. All right. I'm saying thank you to all of our hip skips. That's the $5 a month. And we really appreciate it. It's like a nice tip helping us out.
Absolutely.
And all of it really adds up. So we'd like to give a thank you to the following lovely people. Big thanks to Tal Genevia, Ducky, who I loved in 16 Candles, Beyond the Railroad Podcast, Matt Hubert, Carolyn Price, Team Palmer, and Joshua Bell.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate it. Okay. I got an interesting one.
Yeah?
This is an article in the recent Orange County Register that my sister sent me. That it's part of the Disney Forward plan. Disneyland is now a historic theme park. Like it's been given, and I'll see if you can guess. I'm glad you didn't know this story.
Okay.
That with all the changes going in, but certain things, like if a building is a certain age or significance, it can get historical designation where you can't like destroy it or burn it down. But there are three buildings at Disneyland that are California historic landmarks.
What?
Yeah. Like Mission San Juan Capistrano.
Yeah.
Historic landmark.
Okay.
And now there are three buildings inside. That's the only one I know. And then there's three. That's all I know because I see it on the freeway. There's three buildings in Disneyland that are California historic landmarks, which means they're eligible for the National Register of Historic Places.
Wow. Can I guess them?
Yes, please. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Three.
I would imagine right off the bat, Sleeping Beauty's castle.
No.
Really?
Nope.
Really?
That's what I thought. Nope.
The train station?
Yes, that was number one.
Okay.
The Main Street train station. It was the very first one.
What else would be OG 55?
No, it doesn't have to be OG 55.
Oh, it doesn't?
It doesn't. No. The other two came in later.
Are there any of them attractions?
One is, and the one that isn't came in after Walt Disney died.
It's Small World?
If you believe he died. No.
I give up. What do we got?
You were close when you said floating. Pirates of the Caribbean is the other one because it's like the first major show building with animatronics. It was the first time that New Orleans Square was revamped.
Okay.
So it got that. The third one, I could give you an hour. You'll never guess this one. The Hungry Bear Restaurant.
What?
That whole structure because it shows Disneyland architecture in the 1970s. That was its claim to fame.
Now, what kind of weird loophole is going on here that they had these designated national,
I don't,
like historic buildings?
I don't know. Because the company can apply for it or other people can. I remember I was at a school that had a very old gym that was actually from World War II. Mm-hmm. And they wanted to tear it down and build something new. And their biggest fear was that someone was going to register it with the state of California, then they wouldn't be able to. And I was in a mood. I'm like, I'm totally going to register this building. And then I found that it costs money and it takes a process. And I asked, the bit's not worth it.
It just feels like now that those are that, I mean, and I guess it's a good thing for the train station, especially. They can't do much to ever change those.
The fact that there's no Tiki Room Road Jungle Cruise is a travesty, which I will write many angry worded letters about.
Yeah, that seems a little weird.
If it was us, it would only be Jungle Cruise and Tiki Room.
Well, we can petition, right?
We can.
Let's just register that whole park.
Jungle.
They can't do anything.
Yeah.
Well, I guess speaking of renovations and all of that stuff, because it is April Fool's, which is, I'm going to go on record, one of my least favorite fake holidays ever.
I cannot agree with you more.
I hate it so much.
I feel bad for all of my friends and any of you who are listening. If you're a school teacher, April 1st is just the worst, especially with little kids who just never get sick of it.
Where did it come from?
I don't honestly know. I had heard a rumor that it had like pagan roots because it was like the old New Year's for pagans. And so like, to make fun of them for celebrating it, it became April Fool's Day. That's the story I heard, but I have no evidence to back that up.
Let's see. Here we go. When the Western world employed the Julian calendar, years began on March 25th. Festivals marking the start of the new year were celebrated on the first day of April because March 25th fell during Holy Week. The adoption of the Gregorian calendar during the 1500 moved the new year to January 1st. According to the most widely believed origin postulated for April Fool's Day, those who could be tricked into believing April 1st was still the proper day to celebrate the new year earned the name of April Fools.
Oh, nice.
That's not nearly as fun.
No, you got to love that Julian Gregorian calendar, though. That's why I used to teach Russian history, and their October Revolution happened actually like in November because they were still on the Julian calendar, not the Gregorian calendar.
Okay.
I mean, this is important stuff.
Did you like my narration voice?
That was very good.
Thank you. It reminded me of the old Disneyland.
It also made me tingle in areas I'm not comfortable discussing.
Well, you have good headphones.
It gave me. I could hear the rich tones. Yeah.
This brings me to something I've wanted to do since last year, was talk about, because I hate April Fool's pranks, but I do like the idea of talking about some attractions that Disney and Universal announced that they never did.
Okay.
Which is almost like an April Fool's prank.
Yes.
Because every year companies do the fake products and I always get suckered into it.
Yeah.
There's always one that I want. And then I look at the date and I go, God damn it. Like there was this one company that made for April Fool's prank, a Tauntaun sleeping bag. And I'm like, oh, I want that.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah. They ended up making it and I never bought it. But for that one day, I wanted it.
Yeah.
So I wrote down a couple, and I think you have some stuff too, right?
Oh, yeah, I do. Yeah.
This first one is one of my favorites. I have one Disney example, and I have one Universal example.
Okay. Ooh, a Universal example.
My Disney one is one that I desperately wanted to happen, and I remember seeing it on one of their television anniversary specials with concept art, and they never did it. It's called Toontown Transit. And it was going to be a simulator with a full wraparound screen.
Ooh.
Yeah. Kay. And you were going to be on Gus the Bus, which is a fantastic drag name, as a little aside.
You'd have to be a big person for that one. You can't be Gus the Bus and be 5'4" and 98 pounds.
You got to be wide.
You got to be big.
It was a Toontown City bus with dreams of becoming an actor. And then while on his usual route, he encounters Benny the Cab, chaos ensues, you go down a river, you get swallowed up by Monstro, you get
like
pooped out by Monstro, just like in Storybook Land. And then you eventually, at the end of the ride, he lands his audition and everything's nice. But it looked really cool.
Yeah.
There was going to be effects where like Roger Rabbit hits like the roof of the bus and you see his imprint and the metal and stuff.
That is so cool.
Yeah. Which I think they've done on another attraction since, maybe in Tokyo Disney Sea. I think there's
if it's awesome, that's where it went.
Yeah. So that was always one of my favorites that they never actually did at the park.
That I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, Toontown Transit.
Yeah.
There's concept art, if you look it up, out there of like Toontown and everything.
Yeah.
But it would have been a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What else?
Have you heard of the Western River Expedition?
No.
Really?
I don't.
This is the one I thought you would have known.
Okay.
It was going to be in St. Louis originally, And then they pivoted to put it in the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
And Mark Davis spent 5 years. It was going to be kind of like a Pirates of the Caribbean, but going through the Old West. And they eventually repurposed some of the areas of the attraction for like Phantom Manor and stuff. You're going to go through a ghost town. It was narrated by an owl named Hoot Gibson. But the thing was going to be cool because it was going to be housed in this massive show building that would have had that river attraction, but it also would have had a themed roller coaster, hiking trails, a Pueblo Indian village, and a pack mule attraction.
Wow.
And this is... this
like old school Disneyland,
yeah,
too.
This predates Big Thunder Mountain.
Okay, okay.
So I wonder if like some of these things got repurposed because it was originally going to be set in like Big Thunder Mesa, I think it's called.
Okay, because they did have that. When that was created, they still had the pack mules and all that stuff.
Yeah.
At Disneyland.
They were just going to box them up and ship those mules over to Florida.
Yeah. They were going to build something along the Mississippi River in St. Louis.
Oh, really?
That was one of the areas they were looking at for a theme park before Florida. And St. Louis gave them a bunch of land and there was a couple buildings they could put it in because the weather's not always great. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember why they decided not to build it. I think it was Walt wanted more land and more space.
Huh.
And he just didn't want to throw a park in the middle of the city, which is fine because now St. Louis is murder capital USA. So you don't want a theme park in the middle of that.
No.
You don't want loose random bullets flying into the park from the neighborhoods around it.
No. What is this? Six Flags?
Right. Exactly. Well, those bullets are shot from inside the park.
That's right.
These would be ones coming from people outside, not actual.
And I know that was a very brief glossing over of one of the more legendary epic attractions that was never built.
Yeah.
So look it up, Western River Expedition.
I do not remember that. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. You see some of the concept art of it.
Nice.
It reminds me a lot of the original Indiana Jones concept, which was basically taking over a lot of Adventureland.
You have three different attractions. It would have been amazing.
It would have
ruined the Jungle Cruise.
Yeah, it would have.
But, you know, it's been ruined right now. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, management did that.
Management,
might as well have gotten a ride out of it.
Finally took care of it. I have to change the ending of my history book.
Aw.
But, you know, it's Disney. Those managers will be gone in 6 months anyway.
That's right.
Transferred or fired. Remember, I asked the late, great, legendary skipper, Jerry York, who was there for decades, like, why don't you become a manager? He's like, they tried. I don't want to get fired in 6 months.
That's
like,
fair.
They promote you, then gone.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I like working here. And I'm like, that's true.
Yeah.
They get promoted and then laid off or whatever. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to.
He had it figured out, just driving those Main Street vehicles.
Yep. Plus, if you're a manager, you got to deal with people like us. And is that really worth it?
That'd be the worst.
Bunch of 17, 18-year-olds who think they just know everything. And we're like, back in my day, we did all the pranks.
That's true. Right?
Yeah. Crazy.
So
what's the Universal one?
Oh,
tell me that one.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Because I don't hear a lot about other theme parks and their ideas and whatnot.
They've had a bunch over the years, like a bunch of failed Jurassic Park concepts that sounded really cool, like stuff you'd think, like the Jeep tour and stuff.
Yeah.
But this one stuck out to me. Apollo 13, the coaster.
If you know the movie, that's the one where they almost died.
I know. This is a real event. Like, why would you make a roller coaster ride where something goes horribly wrong after this thing where three guys almost died in space?
Yeah.
So it was, they just opened Islands of Adventure. They needed something to keep butts in the seats at old Universal proper.
Uh-huh.
And so they created the concept of an indoor roller coaster based on Apollo 13, housed in a recreation of the Kennedy Space Center's Vehicle Assembly Building, where guests would board lunar lander-style capsules for a ride around the moon.
Wow.
Yeah. Where I guess something would go horribly wrong.
Right?
Yeah.
Like suddenly you don't have any oxygen to breathe.
That's
and
right.
Wow. You got to like fix it yourself or you die. That is intense.
You have to drink your own urine halfway through that ride.
Or you're dead.
Or you're dead.
You will dehydrate and die.
It seems like a really weird choice to make a ride after.
That is unusual. Although, what do I know? I think building a whole land based on Avatar was really weird.
It is.
And they want to bring it out to California. No. That's all I can say is no.
Yeah, not a fan.
I've seen people go, they underestimate how much people like Avatar. Right?
I've said it every time, and the movie comes out, and it makes $30 billion.
Yeah.
Who likes Avatar outside of seeing it in the movie theater? Who's walking around going like...
There's got to be people. But I don't understand. I don't know. I think it was such a magical world that they wanted to create it somewhere. But I'll go see it. Remember, we were there. They were still building it.
Yeah.
I will check it out and let you know. Ooh, look, rocks that float.
So
Apollo 13.
That's, Apollo 13, it was going to be too costly and it couldn't be built. It wasn't that they thought it was a bad idea. They thought it couldn't be built quick enough. So they scrapped it.
Oh, so killing time while they build the new part.
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Okay, that tracks.
Seems like a weird, like Titanic. Like, why would you want...
Titanic, the boat ride.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Most of the guests will die.
That's right.
But, you know, one lucky guy gets to spend some time with Kate Winslet. So there's...
That's true.
An actress portraying Kate Winslet.
It could be a tube ride, like an adventure tube ride, where you just float past naked Kate Winslet.
Done.
That wouldn't be a bad deal.
I'd be there.
And then you just watch like old people shiver and die in beds and stuff.
Yeah, that's
that'd be the worst part.
That would be real. Wouldn't be worth what the first.
That'd be a real sexually confusing ride.
Yes. You would have more questions than answers after that. Your therapy bills would be intense.
That's
after
true.
That. Yeah.
This is why we're not Imagineers.
Exactly why. Exactly why.
But I got the ride for you, see? So you have, I'm very excited to hear this because I don't know probably any of these.
All right. These are six lands that Disneyland announced they were going to build at Disneyland.
And then never did.
And never built. Although some of them showed up in other parks.
Okay.
But there's six of them. And two of these appeared on maps for the first couple of years.
Interesting.
And even the Disney movie, like they had made like a 20-minute movie.
Yeah.
You can find it on Disney Plus. You can find it on YouTube. It is starts with a beautiful helicopter shot of the park. And it was designed like a 20-minute color movie before a Disney feature so that everybody around America could get a real good view of what Disneyland was like.
Yeah.
And it was done in like 56.
Okay.
So the park's still real young. But there's a band and coming off of Main Street, and there's a big banner announcing this new land coming in 1957. And it never came. But here's what they were going to do. They were going to do International Land.
Oh, okay. That's the one that was going to open?
One of them, yes.
57?
Yes. Although in where it shows the banner, there was a different land that they had planned to build there. So I don't know why the banner's there in the movie. It's just weird. But International Land was going to be kind of where Pirates of the Caribbean is now.
Oh.
Like you had to go under the train tracks.
Yeah.
And basically, it was almost like Epcot, but it's basically Europe. So there'd be like a French cafe and a British pub and a German restaurant. And so it would just be different. European countries, like now, a little European village kind of vibe to it.
Now, if they're going to have a British pub, were they ever going to keep a hard stance on no booze at the park?
Yes.
Were they?
Because this was Walt, so there would be no booze whatsoever. Yeah.
Just his glass of scotch and ice.
Exactly. His very strong glass of scotch. So that one, here's the one, I should have put this one for last, because this one is absolutely the worst idea Disney's ever had.
Okay.
It was going to be called Mythia. And it was going to be a land based on Greek and Roman gods.
Oh.
And if you know anything about Greek and Roman gods, they were just murdering and raping 24/7. Like Zeus, in one story, Zeus becomes he transforms us into a goose so he can seduce a woman. Like he's.
As a goose?
As a goose.
He can turn into anything.
Anything. He chose a goose to seduce. So I was actually at the Getty Villa, which is my favorite museum in the world to go visit. And it's free. But there's a woman holding this goose, and it's Zeus seducing her. And she's like, oh, this goose. I'm like, that's...
Goose's got game.
It does. You know, it can be quite jealous about that. So it was going to be all these Greek gods and goddesses who were just horrific to each other.
Yeah.
Like Medusa is seen as this evil creature.
Yeah.
But she was attacked and molested by one of the gods. And then his wife's like, I'm going to punish you for being beautiful. Snakes for hair. And she did nothing wrong.
Oh, my God.
Medusa's crime was some guy saw her, goes, yeah, I'm just gonna go assault her.
And I never knew this.
Yep, it's like every story is like, these gods are dicks. That's why nobody likes them anymore. That's why no one's like, oh, praise Jupiter. No. Mercury, all of them. They're just busy just being literally the worst.
And I know this isn't the lesson to take out of this, but I've never liked geese, and now I have a good reason.
Yeah, they're mean. Yeah. I remember my grandmother had like a big mark in her thumb. She's like, a goose bit me when I was 8.
Geese are terrible.
Aggressive.
I always used to get attacked by geese as a small child.
Uh-huh.
Through no fault of my own.
Huh.
Seduced by geese.
Uh-huh.
And didn't care for it.
It's weird. My oldest daughter, peacocks, hated her.
Like,
we would go to the zoo and a peacock would see her and just go, as loud as it could and just wouldn't stop.
Ah.
And we even tried, like, we turned the stroller. Yep, yep. All right. They're just
wow.
Something about her. They're like, yep, I need to howl as loudly as I can. And peacocks can be loud.
Can they?
Yeah.
I've never heard a peacock.
Like, louder than you think a bird could be. Why is a creature that small that loud?
I know we're going off on a side tangent.
Sorry. You didn't expect a lot of peacock stories.
Today's episode is a serious deep dive into peacocks and why do they exist.
Yes.
Why do they exist, though?
Are beautiful.
They are.
They are.
The males
gorgeous.
Are the pretty ones, right?
Yes. Yeah.
And like, then the females are just kind of plain.
So they don't get eaten.
Oh.
So if there's a predator, that's why most, like ducks, a lot of animals, the male is the flashier, colorful one.
Oh.
So they get eaten. And the mommy will be brown to protect the babies that are also usually brown. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's why you and I are stunningly handsome.
This is true.
So,
Jess, you're welcome.
You've saved her life.
More than she'll ever know.
Yeah, right? It's the price of our beauty. So, Mythia, there was that. And then another one's going to be called Big City USA. And it was going to, but this one showed up in Tokyo Disney Sea, the New York area, like the New York waterfront area.
That's my favorite area.
Right? Is it?
Yes.
That's cool.
100%.
I've been told this is where they kind of built on that idea from here. But this was going to be back where the Fantasyland Theater is. And it was going to have, like, look like New York. So I'm assuming there'd be muggings and whatever.
Yes.
And expensive, well, there would be expensive pizza. But they were going to have a theater where they would put on Broadway shows.
Oh.
Which is funny because.
This is totally Disney Sea.
Right? Is
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, what's interesting because there is that Fantasyland Theater in the back of Disneyland by Small World. But I learned that in the 70s, cast members actually put on productions. They would do like musicals.
Like actual musicals.
Actual musicals, like after the park closed.
Oh.
They could invite their friends and family, and they built sets on their own, and they had lighting, and all these cast members would just put on like Broadway musicals you've heard of.
Wow.
And just do it for their friends as like a summer activity.
Huh.
Back when the park was more family oriented. Now they're like, you must, you know, clock out and immediately leave the park.
That's right.
So
why are you doing a music with all women?
Yeah, yeah. Or all black people.
We don't need, nobody goes to a musical to hear music and learn lessons.
Especially just from women. So that was Big City USA. The next one, World Holiday Land. Just like International Land, but holidays. And what holiday? All European holidays.
Oh, okay.
I figured it would be like Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
Nope. Oh, it's like, this is how Germany celebrates Christmas. This is how England. Like, actually, I don't want to know what the German holiday was.
So would they have Krampus?
I bet. Oh, I don't know. Maybe they should have had Krampus.
And Krampus is a little edgy.
Might be a little scary. It'd be the sweetest, nicest Krampus.
He would.
He would like take your one present if you were naughty,
that's
not
right.
Steal you. And what do they do? What does Krampus do with the babies?
It depends on different areas have different riffs on the same idea.
Okay.
And it varies between if you're a bad kid, puts you in a basket, takes you off.
Yeah.
There's some where he beats the hell out of you. Like beat you through the street.
Yeah.
So it's all over the place.
Okay.
I would be interested to see how Disney approached a Krampus.
A Krampus. It'd be so serene and friendly.
Probably.
Who'd be like, naughty, naughty. It's like they just shake their finger at you. But two fingers because it's Disney.
That's right.
Yeah.
He'd shake the parents down for some money is what he would do.
That's true. That's exactly what happened. All right. Here's the last two. The last two both appeared on maps and they were promised to appear. One of them appeared actually, you took me there, it's in the Magic Kingdom. But the first one was going to be called Edison Square.
Oh, yes.
And you know where, like, where cast members walk to the in-between,
mm-hmm.
like, go backstage? It was going to be right there. Like,
okay.
It was going to be back behind Main Street. And it was going to be
a little
area that shows, like, the genius of American inventors. And so it was going to have Edison, and then it was really going to have Tesla, and then Edison stealing all of Tesla's ideas is what it was going to be. But it was going to have like one of the first audio animatronics was going to be Edison.
Oh.
But it was designed to show America and all the inventions that Americans have made.
That's wild.
So it was going to be that kind of a thing. And then at the front of Main Street, so when you walk in, when you enter the park, off to your right where the parade floats come in and out, that was going to be another little cul-de-sac land called Liberty Street.
Mm.
And it was going to be, they thought they'd have like figures of every single president.
Good Lord.
Not audio animatronic, but like wax figures or whatever, because they didn't have audio. This was the 50s. But it was going to be like, it was going to be designed to be America in 1776 at the start of the revolution. And like, there'll be Ben Franklin and like, you know, there'll be like a printing press shop where you can get a newspaper and, you know, like a revolutionary paper from Ben Franklin and all kinds of fun stuff like that.
So what you're telling me is that if Disney didn't come up with any new ideas, it'd be a real boring place for a couple of years.
Yes.
because that does not sound like thrilling to me. Like, make a hard right on Main Street and go look at some wax figures of old presidents.
Yeah.
Nothing more thrilling. That's an e-ticket right
that
there.
That is right there. I do want to go to the Hall of the Presidents, though. Is that weird?
No, because it's kind of turned into a train wreck over the years.
Yeah. I wonder why. So that was the, those are the six lands.
My goodness. It's funny. The big, what's it called? Big City USA?
Yeah.
Yeah. 100% Tokyo Disney Sea.
Oh, cool.
Easily my favorite land there, only because you can sit in the Teddy Roosevelt Lounge and look out over it. And if you ignore the volcano in Venice, it feels like you're in, you know, that era New York. And it's just a blast.
That's very cool.
It's real cool. And they have a good delicatessen there. And,
wow, yeah. Really?
Yeah, surprisingly.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
The Japanese are fantastic at deciding, I like this, and I'm going to do it better than you.
Yeah.
They nail it every time.
Yeah.
It's so good. They're down to the toilets.
Oh, yeah. Their toilets are much better.
The Arba Day, yes, please.
Life-changing.
It is. It's like...
Life-changing. I'm a better person because of your Arba Day.
It's easily one of the best things ever. And if you're one of those people that's on the fence about bidets, don't be.
Don't be.
Get off the fence, hop on that jet stream.
And enjoy it.
It's like Fantasmic in your bum.
We have officially covered the gamut of topics.
Now for the most dangerous part of our show, the return to civilization. If you've enjoyed the show and want to show some support while also getting some adventurously good extras, visit patreon.com/thejunglepodcast. Also, if you could be so kind as to follow the lads on Instagram, I know they'd be thrilled. At Dr. Skipper Marley and at the.trevor.kelly. See you hip skips next time in The Jungle.